Good morning once again. Okay. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Flo Galvez, and a member of the church who enjoys coming here and worshiping and participating in many of our events, including Lighted Window Presents, where we do our best to provide quality entertainment in the way of plays and concerts and lectures and more, even a dash of karaoke now and then. Okay. All right. Spoiler alert, just to let you know, I'm going to be referring to a lot of, I'm going to make pop cultural references and references to a lot of movies and films. I'm sorry, I'm sticking, I should have had more slides up here perhaps, but if anybody is interested, I can see that we can have a list of some of the films and plays and songs I'll be speaking about today on our newsletter. All right. So, I'd say about a week or so ago, Jen, Amanda, and myself, we went to the movies to go see the brand new movie musical, Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again. Now, I love musicals, and I'm just sad that we don't live in an age where they're churning them out like they did in the 1940s and 50s and all that. I think they're great. I mean, it's kind of sad. I was just reflecting on all the films this summer, and I was just reflecting on how, wow, there's only one musical, and there's only one film that basically deals with romance on some level. I think we're starting to lose something here. Anyway, I just want to say that I love the stage musical and its original film about a young woman who was searching to find her real father, and her mother, played by the great Meryl Streep. We're not worthy. I know, Meryl Streep, with whom she comes into conflict with. Now, among the possible choices for her father is the actor Pierce Brosnan, who played James Bond for several years. And he sings. It's a miracle. A miracle just like it was to see and hear one of the world's most influential actors of his time, Marlon Brando, way back when, in the movie Guys and Dolls. When he sang the classic tune, Luck Be a Lady Tonight, in his distinct Brando speak, which basically sounds something like this. I'm sorry, Mr. Brando, wherever you may be. Like, Luck Be a Lady Tonight. Something along those lines, okay. Anyway, by the way, Frank Sinatra was supposed to have his part, but they said, no, we want Brando. Anyway, in her trials and tribulations on this journey in Mamma Mia, that, may I add, is set to the enduringly popular songs of the group ABBA, she finds more than what she bargained for in the way of family and friendship and love. It was a huge hit that continues to delight audiences around the world. But I must say, whenever I see a title of a sequel that includes the words, here we go again, or says something to that effect, it makes me wonder if I'm being set up for some sort of disappointment, winding up saying that phrase with the excitement of either, wow, here we go again, or, oh God, here we go again. You know, that sickening feeling that you get when you're really not into a certain play or a film or a song. Oh God, oh Lord, here we go again. But let me say that while Mamma Mia 2 certainly is not a flawless, perfect film, it is full of sublime moments that lift your heart to deliriously joyful heights. These were moments that filled me with emotion. I was crying at times just for the sheer happiness that I felt. It made me happy to see these terrific veteran actors and performers like the extraordinary Meryl Streep and Cher, still going strong, and the whole company in a multi-generational work of popular art that seemed to spread infectious joy. And infectious joy is something that I think we need in these dark times. But art is more than that. But the happiness I felt was not just for myself, but it was for Jen and Amanda and the whole community in that afternoon matinee audience who cheered and applauded when the credits rolled. And I remember when we saw the Star Wars film, Solo. Nobody applauded after that. But here, in this beautiful musical, people stood up and cheered. It was a beautiful sight. Anyway, one of those great moments was when the song Dancing Queen appeared in the film. And the way they do it is just so well done, so cheesy, but so joyful. I mean, I wanted to be that dancing queen when that number was performed. And I'm sure many others wanted the same thing. Now, whenever I have an experience at the cinema, at the theater, listening to a piece of music, seeing a dance performance, or a television program, a piece of visual art that touches the soul, I say there is God to be found. And praise Jesus for allowing us to have the experience, and for a short time or even a longer time in our lives to be transformed. So let's look at the 1 Chronicles 16 scripture just for a moment. And imagine if it was a play or perhaps a musical. Okay, we've had our big opening number. lots of singing, lots of dancing. You know, the Ark of God, the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant, where will it go? I'm just making that up, but something along those lines, okay? It's just a prologue, big opening number. But as Act 1 settles in, it's the presentation of the Ark of God, otherwise known as the Ark of the Covenant, described as a gold-covered wooden chest that contains the two stone tablets that are the Ten Commandments, as we learn in the book of Exodus. In Act 1, the conflicts grow over who will take that Ark to Jerusalem. King David ultimately becomes the one who will take the Ark to Jerusalem. And then Act 1 ends. And Act 2 is the actual journey to bring the Ark to Jerusalem successfully. And the moment is given a rather poignant tone in the scripture, with David giving burnt offerings and blessing the people in the name of the Lord, distributing meats, bread, and cake, ultimately giving thanks. And then we begin the finale. It's time to break out the harps, the lyres, the cymbals. And I'm sure there had to be percussion in there somewhere. And of course, the trumpets. Dancing and singing ensues, all in the praise of the Lord. And the curtain closes, applause. Singing, dancing, and praising. Praising. And once again, ultimately giving thanks. Now, whatever you may or may not remember of the 1980s, or whatever you wish to forget about the 1980s, perhaps, or any other decade in your life, who knew that there would be two different but enduringly entertaining films that relate to certain elements here? One is the 1981, I hope I got that date correct, Steven Spielberg-directed film Raiders of the Lost Ark, now called Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. And they would use the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Covenant, as the center of its story, as our heroes battle Nazi Party Gestapo and greedy poachers to find the Ark. And in the midst of all the action and the adventure and spectacle, there is a genuine reverence for its significant place in the Bible as translated to a modern audience. And every time I watch that film, of course I love the running and the jumping and the chasing, but they never let you forget that the Ark of the Covenant is something very special and real. And then in 1984, in the dance-oriented drama Footloose, which was released that year to a lot of fanfare, it used the story of a town in Texas, the true story of a town in Texas that outlawed dancing. And their story is an actual early look at the evolving evangelical movement that supports this law to the chagrin of its young people. A youthful outsider from Chicago leads the kids into challenging this unjust law. The story takes a turn as this young person from Chicago confronts the town council, led by the inflexible Reverend Shaw, who rails each week against that sinful rock and roll music. He's so inflexible he's ready to reject, even without hearing any type of argument or discussion. But the young man uses Ecclesiastes 3 that is given to him by Reverend Shaw's daughter. And he defies the council with scripture, forcing the town to take a long look at themselves and their hypocrisy. And as with many music-oriented entertainments, there is a very happy ending as the youth have their dance, their prom, and both the youth and the community show the promise of strengthening their ties. And being in the 1980s, it's all done to a rocking Billboard chart-topping MTV-style soundtrack. But both of these films still capture the imagination of the generations that have come since. And Footloose was remade a couple of decades later, and it's been a Broadway musical that is done in a lot of schools and theaters all over the world, with its simple message of love and understanding and tolerance and ultimately acceptance. And using the Bible and using references from Scripture to sort of shore up its foundation in the story. Now, these are pop culture phenomenons, and we may overlook that because it's, you know, it's big entertainment, mainstream entertainment, Hollywood entertainment, but God is still present. Maybe it's hidden in some way, but God can be found there. I'll give you another example. Let's take the very popular Star Wars series, whose line, "May the Force be with you," has become part of our lexicon in our country and throughout the world. And in the Star Wars series, the Force is an unseen spiritual force, a mystery that is inside all the people in the universe of these films. The Force brings balance to the universe and to the world. It represents the light side, or the best side in ourselves, the best of ourselves. The dark side represents the worst part of ourselves, and that which is unforcely, perhaps. Now, if you replace the word force, with the word God, you are saying something as old as time. May God be with you. May God be with you. And our actions being godly or ungodly. And this force, if you will, also represents the beautiful mystery that is God. Now, let's consider some directly religious or biblical stories, which are now called faith-based entertainments. And there are many, and it's become huge business unto itself. Mostly with an evangelical bent, but not all of it. Does anybody remember the big religious spectacles like the Ten Commandments, or Ben-Hur, perhaps? Or The Greatest Story Ever Told, or King of Kings? Anybody? Or folks of my generation, did your parents make you watch those when you were, around Easter time? Well, I sure do. And I enjoyed them. But these are basically star-studded religious films designed to appeal not just to the wide Christian audience, but to filmgoers in general. And these same stories were written as plays in churches, theaters, musicals, and silent film long before the 1950s and 60s. And they were so star-studded that I wonder sometimes if we're being lost in just being star-struck as opposed to being awestruck at times. I mean, in one of them, I think The Greatest Story Ever Told, I think John Wayne somehow appears out of nowhere in one of them. He plays like a centurion who's watching the crucifixion. And I think he has one line. He says, "Well, all right over here, partner. He's definitely the Son of God to me." Okay, that's terrible John Wayne. But... I apologize. Partner. But I'm just paraphrasing. His line basically said, yes, he's the Son of God. And I guess for some people maybe, well, if John Wayne said that, it's got to be true, buddy. It's got to be true. John Wayne said that. As opposed to, he just is. But I suppose having the big stars there was necessary to bring people to the word, to the message. And some ways, a lot of the films are amusing and at times even absurd, but I suppose how you feel about them all depends on your own beliefs and your own interpretation of the Bible. Now, in many ways, they might seem like larger-than-life special effects-laden Sunday school lessons, but they touch many, and they still do to this day. I was at my pop's house, and that's my pops in the back over here, and I don't know, I just got caught up maybe a year ago or so. Turner Classic Movies just had a marathon of these. And I know I wanted to do something that day. I wanted to go out, but I didn't. I just stayed there for the whole time, watching film after film after film, and having discussions with myself about their meeting. And I'm sorry, they were tremendously entertaining, and in some cases powerful. Now, today there are many religious-themed films that look at everyday life or based on true story incidents or an interpretation of prophecy, perhaps. Now, the evangelical movement is at the helm of many of these, and often progressive ideas, progressive Christian ideas, I have to say, are looked down upon, such as in the Left Behind series, if anyone's familiar with that, or the equally successful God Is Not Dead series, and there are three films in that, with conservative and ultra-conservative values being hailed up with lots of hell and damnation tones to boot. Now, aside from that, not all the films are cut and dry. Probably among the biggest and most complicated of these is The Last Temptation of Christ. Does anybody remember hearing about The Last Temptation of Christ, perhaps? Yeah, it was very controversial when it was released in the late 80s. It shows Jesus deciding to see what life would be like had he not been crucified. And he becomes an ordinary man who raises a family. But ultimately he sees how the world would be. It's almost like It's a Wonderful Life, in a way, in which he sees that the world is not better off without him. And I remember going to that theater. I had to stand on line for about 2 hours. And there were people protesting, making death threats in the movie theater. I'll be honest with you, I thought I might be killed in some sort of attack or something like that. But if I've got to go, let me go watching this film about Jesus. And it was interesting and sparked a lot of debate. Now, there's another film, The Passion of the Christ. Does anybody remember that recent film from Mel Gibson? Yeah. It's the biggest faith or Christian-based film of all time, and still is. And perhaps it's the most controversial. The tone of the film does take on some of the director's own anti-Semitic feeling. And ultimately, it's one of the most violent films ever made, which is my understanding. And it's the highest box office for a rated R film ever. Now, basically, the film starts off with Christ being beaten for about 2.5 hours. And on the one hand, it probably is a very realistic depiction of what happened. But I had to ask myself, is just watching Christ getting pounded Is that the perhaps the best way for us to receive a message about this most important event of that holy weekend? And all I can say is, you know, we have to ask ourselves when we look at the Bible and much as we look at faith-based entertainments. It's all a matter of perspective. But whether we think something is too conservative or too progressive or whatever, at least they get us talking. They get us talking about God and the church and all that goes with it. And I think that's probably the best thing of these entertainments. And if you look carefully, you can find God not just in these films, but all around us. You know, our second scripture talks about the bread of life and Jesus providing this. Jesus is the bread of life. The Lord helps us to provide food, shelter, clothing, the basic needs, and fills us with love that's bestowed upon us. We praise God's name in song every week or every day. Now, food, clothing, and shelter help us to exist. But the arts help us to live, to really live. And they are tools of helping us see different points of view, see different aspects of humanity, seeing the best in ourselves, seeing the worst in ourselves, and also starting a discussion how we can change things. We live in this 24-hour news cycle that surrounds us, making us fraught with worry every day. Sometimes I think our leaders are no better than that shark in Jaws, quite frankly. But in spite of all this worry, I submit to you, congregation, that when we feel uplifted by a song that we hear in church with the beautiful sounds of the choir and Ruth Huber's playing, "There Is God." When for no reason you find yourself singing a song that makes you feel good, there is God. If you happen to be walking or driving on the street and you stumble across a striking mural that grabs your attention, there is God. If you have ever been to a Rainbow Women's Chorus performance and have been moved by what you've heard and seen, there is God. If you have been to our Lighted Window plays and concerts and laughed, cried, were thrilled, or just didn't like anything, or even made to think about life in some way, then there is God. And we certainly appreciate your support of our efforts to bring various theatrical events to our church and community. And the arts bringing people together for that shared experience is God. In my own arts education, I had a tremendous blow to me this week. A very significant figure in my life, my most influential theater professor, mentor, and friend, Dr. Paul Jackson, died this week rather suddenly. I've been grieving rather heavily. But one of the things he taught, among many things that I'll always remember, I don't think I've forgotten anything, something that the legendary founder of the Moscow Art Theater, Stanislavski, said. He said, "Love the art in yourself, not yourself in the art. Love the art in yourself." Because there is creativity inside all of us. We all have our gifts, whether they're fully realized or soon to be realized. Like the beautiful child back there, her gifts will be realized as well one day. The Creator gave us these gifts. And I can share with you probably 1,000 striking moments from various arts that have placed me in a state of awe or a state of empathy or bliss. Like Gene Wilder singing Pure Imagination in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. John Travolta strutting down the street looking sharp with a Bee Gees tune in his head and Saturday Night Fever. Judy Garland wishing she was somewhere over the rainbow when The Wizard of Oz. A desperate Sidney Poitier having a nervous breakdown in front of his family in A Raisin in the Sun. Or a confident, smart, and cool Sidney Poitier in the film In the Heat of the Night, battling racism with his pride and dignity saying, "They call me Mr. Tibbs." And the great multi-award-winning Puerto Rican actress, Rina Moreno, leading her fellow cast members in song and dance about the ups and downs of being brown in America in West Side Story. Or Sam Cooke singing about change is gonna come. Or the great Billie Holiday, Lady Day, singing about the strange fruit that hangs from the trees in the South, meaning the bodies of lynched people who were lynched. Or the stark look of rejection and loneliness in an AIDS-stricken Tom Hanks in the film Philadelphia. Or the camaraderie of gay men pouring out their souls to each other in the play and film The Boys in the Band. Or Gene Kelly singing in the Rain. Or a community of Jewish settlers in 1900s Russia singing about tradition. Jennifer Beals and her dance double, I must say, dancing triumphantly in victory and power to Irene Cara's Flash Dance. What a feeling! Or hearing the great reggae superstar Bob Marley singing about "Thank You, Lord, for what you've done for me," and asking us to get up, stand up in protest. And also singing about the one love that binds humanity together. One love. Or the thrill of seeing Bruce Lee kick down a sign that says, "No dogs or Chinese allowed." Or hearing those great protest songs from the civil rights era, talking about, "Ain't nobody gonna turn me around, and we shall overcome. We shall overcome." The arts is a soundtrack to everything that goes on in our lives. It's a soundtrack to what we read in Scripture, because the creative blessings of God are there. And in here, we have many gifts, including Mary and Larry Edson, who I get to watch build that set for our plays, little by little until they're done. All the talent we have in this congregation, or the joy of finding love through just going to the movies every week with Jen and Amanda. So I'd like, in closing, to ask you for one moment to close your eyes and please just imagine a world without the arts. And as you still have your eyes closed, I'd like you to please think of a moment, one single solitary moment, where you were moved in some special way by the arts. Not everybody paints, writes, dances, acts, plays music, but those gifts are there. There is art within each and every one of us. And as God loves us, we should love ourselves and each other. And just like all the things there was a time for in Ecclesiastes 3, that the birds made that great song about, turn, 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 in the 60s, there is pain and suffering, as there was laughter and joy in the arts, and there is love. And God's love is present if you open yourself up to find it. Amen and amen.